Take your Bibles and let's turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. We make our way back to the Gospel of Mark. And we'll be in Mark for the next several weeks, maybe months. Mark chapter 8 and verses 22 through 26. Mark 8, 22 through 26. Mark 8, 22 through 26. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence with us, your ministry to us. And we pray that as we come before your word, that you would speak afresh to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let me just make sure you got the story. Okay, so here is Jesus. They're near a village, Bethsaida, and some people bring a blind man to him. And they're begging Jesus to touch the blind man and to heal him. And so Jesus takes the blind man outside the village, and Jesus spits in the guy's eyes and then touches him. And then Jesus asks, "Do you see anything?" And the guy says, "I see people walking around, but they look like trees." And so then Jesus touches him again, and now he's able to see everything clearly. And then Jesus tells him, commands him, "Don't go into the village." Well, what do you think about that? Anything kind of strike you about this miracle? Had to do it twice. I mean, why didn't the guy see clearly the first time? Jesus spit into his eyes. Jesus touched him. Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" And yeah, he sees, but he doesn't see clearly. He sees people that look like they're walking around, but they look like trees. Well, maybe. I mean, I've wrestled with this, and I've tried to figure it out. Why does it take Jesus two times to get this guy to the place where he sees clearly? And one thought has been that maybe he didn't believe enough in his heart. But I'm troubled by that response. And I've thought about it, and I'm kind of troubled by it, because in other places in the Gospel of Mark, we see Jesus respond to a little bit of faith. And we see Jesus respond to the faith of those who bring others to Jesus. So you remember the story, it's back in chapter 2, I believe, where there's this guy who's paralyzed and he's on a mat, and the house is crowded and they can't get him to Jesus. And so what do the guys do? They go up on the roof and they dig a hole in the roof and they lower the mat down in front of Jesus, and there's the guy. And Jesus sees their faith, the ones who brought him, and Jesus tells the guy that he's forgiven, and then tells him to take up his mat and walk. Now, if you got people bringing somebody to Jesus and begging Jesus to heal, I don't think there's a faith shortage there. And so I don't think I can simply say that the reason why it took two times is because the guy didn't have enough faith. Maybe he didn't, but it was the same thing with the guy who was on the mat. It was their faith that he saw. So I'm still wrestling with this. You know, this is the first time that Jesus heals somebody who's blind. He's done the deaf. He's done lame. He's done a lot of other things. He's done demon possession. But this is the first time that he's healed a blind person. And, well, I don't know. Maybe Jesus just had to figure out how to do blind. Maybe that was a problem. I mean, you got the picture, right? They bring the guy out to Jesus, and they just ask Jesus to touch the guy. Instead, Jesus spits in the guy's eyes and then asks, do you see anything? I mean, you try having somebody spit in your eye and see what you see. Could be. Maybe Jesus just had a bad spit day. You know, that his spit wasn't up to whatever it normally is. Because we saw him use spit once before, right? Do you remember? He used spit before when they brought the guy to him who was deaf and had a speech problem. And Jesus took that guy outside the village, and Jesus poked holes in the guy's ears, and Jesus spit on his hands and then touched the guy's tongue, and the guy was able to hear and able to speak clearly. And so it's just a little bit before. And so what we have, I mean, we've seen Jesus use spit before, but for whatever reason, this miracle is taking a second effort. And I'm a little bit puzzled by that. I'm trying to figure out what to do with it. Because it's not very often that we see Jesus needing a second shot at a miracle. In fact, this is the only place where we see Jesus kind of have to take a second shot, if you will, at a miracle. Do you see anything? Yeah, I see people walking around. They look like trees. And then Jesus touches them again, and he sees all things clearly. Now, let's step back a little bit. One of the things that we've learned as we've journeyed through Mark back before Christmas and, you know, kind of through the fall, one of the things that we began to learn is that the miracles are not an end in themselves. That when Jesus heals somebody, the miracle isn't an end in itself. The miracle says something about who Jesus is, and it will signify in some kind of way that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the one through whom God is present and God is bringing God's kingdom, God's reign. And so the miracles point to that. And so the miracles are in almost, I don't want to reduce the miracle to an object lesson, but in many ways, the miracles are a lesson testifying to who Jesus is. And so one of the things that we want to ask about this miracle is, what does the miracle testify about Jesus? And this miracle, as the other miracles do, testify that Jesus is the Christ. The passage of scripture that Richard read back in Isaiah 29 talked about the ears of the deaf being opened and talked about the eyes of the blind being able to see. That when God's time comes, that when God's kingdom comes in its fullness, these kind of things will happen. And so here is Jesus. He heals the deaf. He gives sight to the blind. And it's like a huge billboard. It's a testimony saying that Jesus is the Messiah, that he's the one through whom God is bringing God's day, God's time, putting things right. So the miracle testifies something about who Jesus is. Now, this miracle not only testifies about who Jesus is, but this miracle testifies something about discipleship. I want us to back up and look at some context here, kind of a bigger picture, as we wrestle with what's going on with this miracle, and especially what's going on with this kind of two-stage healing, if you will. So the first place I want to back up to, and we've already talked a little bit about it, is chapter 7 and verse 31. And I'm going to read this, and I want you to kind of make a list in your mind, if you will, of things that are similar in the passage that I'm going to read about the healing of the deaf with things that are in the passage about the healing of the blind man. Okay, are you with me on that? So we've been through the healing of the blind man. I've read that a couple times, or at least once, and referred to it. And now turn with me to 7:31 and kind of make note here. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. At this the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. Now go with me over to the passage that we opened with, 8:22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village." Okay, what are the things that these passages have in common? Putting Jesus' hands on him.
But how come in the top part it says his regularly, and then in the next one, for the second time he touches him, it has the his,
What verse is it?
That's 29.
Verse 25.
In 23, it says, put his hands.
He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, that'd be Jesus' hands, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?"
And then in 25, it says,
"See?" It says, once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes.
But stress is his.
I don't see that. In her translation, the his is in italics. And when you have typically what happens, it's a great question. Typically what happens is when you have something put in kind of italics, that's indicating that the word, that particular word, is not actually in the original text. Okay, so in the Greek text, which this is a translation of, it doesn't have the word his there. And it would simply say he put hands on him. And what the translators do is they kind of fill in the ambiguity of it, and they identify whose hands. And so in the Greek, it would simply say he put hands on him, and the translators say, well, whose hands was it? Well, it was his own hand, so he put his hands on him. And then some editions or some translations, whenever they do that, they will put that word in italics, letting you know that this word isn't actually in the Greek text, but we're kind of filling in the text for understanding. And so that's why that word is in italicized. And sometimes that looks like it's emphasis being added, but it's really just the translator's way of saying that this word has been supplied rather than this word is emphasized. And that's what's going on there, and that's a great question. Not all translations do that, a number of them do. Now, but you pick up on something in terms of what's in common between the two stories. In both cases, there is Jesus placing hands. Did you see anything else in common between the two stories?
Both the tells
Right. Both stories conclude the same way. Don't go back and don't tell anyone. What else, Rachel? Okay, so there's this touching, the ears, the tongue, two times there. Is that what you're thinking? And then twice on the blind man. What else?
Rebecca? It was the friends that brought the death of the blind, and like they were begging Jesus, and it wasn't necessarily the people themselves that were coming.
Right.
Their friends and dreams.
Right. So you have some people. And same language in both places. Some people brought somebody to Jesus, and they're begging Jesus to touch him.
And both people, he took the person away from the crowd.
Exactly. Both, he takes him outside. Tom?
Yeah, they both went out and bragged about how Jesus had healed him.
Did exactly.
Okay. Yeah, they didn't listen very well at that point. But what I want you to see is the parallels in the story. And so some people take somebody, they're begging Jesus, and what Jesus does is Jesus takes them outside the village, and then he touches them, and there's restoration of hearing, of speech, of sight. But then you get this kind of strange word, don't go back and tell people what I did for you.
Because he knows that they'll do the opposite.
Okay, but he's telling them, don't go back. Now, here's why I'm calling attention to this. We're supposed to read these two stories together. I think Mark pointing out to us the similarities between the two stories is saying, hey, I want you to read this stuff together. And then I want us to take a quick look at what we have in between. And so look with me to chapter 8. And let's pick it up at verse 14. Jesus has just fed the 4,000, and now we're picking it up at verse 14. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered 7. He said to them, do you still not understand?
Do you still not see?
Yeah, look at verse 18 again. Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? Who's not hearing? The disciples. Who's not seeing? The disciples. Now, see big picture here. Here you have disciples that aren't getting who Jesus is. They're not hearing, they're not seeing, they're not understanding, they're not getting it. And what do you have surrounding the picture of these disciples who just aren't getting it? The healing of a man who can't hear and the healing of a man who can't see. See, these miracles aren't an end in themselves. These miracles testify something about who Jesus is, but they also testify something about discipleship. The miracles surround disciples who aren't hearing it, who aren't seeing it, who aren't getting it. Now, let's look just a little bit further. So far, we've been looking at everything that leads up to this miracle. Let's go to 8:27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Christ. Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. What do you notice?
Because he knew what was going to come in.
What else do you notice? Not to tell anyone. The man who was deaf, don't tell anyone. The man who was blind, don't tell anyone. The man who confesses Jesus is the Christ, don't tell anyone. Now, we'll have to talk more about the don't tell anyone next week. Okay, just a little teaser there. But what I want you to pick up on is we got to read these things together. So who finally hears, who finally sees, who finally gets it? Peter, the disciple. Who do people say that I am? Well, some say you're the prophet. Some say you're the Christ. Some say you're Elijah. This has been the question through the first 8 chapters of the Gospel of Mark. Who is this guy? We see it in terms of Jesus casting out a demon, an unclean spirit, in his very first miracle in chapter 1. And the demon recognizes who Jesus is, but the people, they don't get it. They've never seen authority like this. When Jesus heals the paralytic, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." And what are the people asking? Who is this that has the authority to forgive sins? When Jesus talks about the Sabbath and he heals a man on the Sabbath, the question is, who is this guy to be working on the Sabbath, making people well? Who is he? When Jesus calms a storm, the disciples are asking, who is this guy that even the wind and the waves obey him? When Herod has John in prison and he's already had John executed and he begins to hear about Jesus and the miracles that Jesus is doing, even Herod is asking the question, who is this guy? Is he John the Baptist come up from the dead? See, this has been the big question all the way through the gospel. Now, we the readers, Mark has told us right off, verse 1, this is the good news of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. But the disciples and everybody else, except the demons, are trying to figure it out. Who is this guy? And finally, Peter sees. You are the Christ. And then Jesus says, don't tell anyone. And this is going to transition us into a new section in the Gospel of Mark that we'll be working with over the next several weeks. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ. How does Peter get to that place? How does Peter get to the place where he recognizes who Jesus is? That he can answer the question, you are the Christ. How does he get there? Let me ask it a different way. How did the deaf man come to the place where he could hear? How? Jesus touched him. Jesus opened his ears. Jesus brought the deaf man to the place to where he could hear. How did the blind man come to be able to see? Jesus. Jesus is the one who enabled the blind man to see. And again, we'll wrestle some more later on with this two-stage process. We'll save that for next week too. But I want you to see this. How was he able to see? It was by Jesus. It wasn't by trying harder. It wasn't by somehow squinting, like, I'm really going to see this time. I know I'm going to see this time. It's Jesus. How did Peter come to the place where he was able to confess that Jesus is the Christ? Jesus. See, what Mark is trying to tell us here, what Jesus is doing here, is that just as Jesus enables the deaf to hear, just as Jesus enables the blind to see, so Jesus enables disciples to get it, that Jesus is the Christ. Do you believe that? See, sometimes I feel like we approach discipleship as if it's all on us. That I just got to try harder. That I just got to work harder. That somehow discipleship is my work. And what I think I'm seeing here is that discipleship, yes, it involves something from me, but discipleship is a gift. Discipleship is a miracle. Just like the miracle of hearing, just like the miracle of seeing. That you don't get to recognizing Jesus as the Christ on your own. There's no amount of mental effort that's going to get you there. There is no amount of emotional effort that's going to get you there. That the way you get there is Jesus takes you there. Just as Jesus took the blind man aside and gave him sight, just as Jesus took the deaf man aside and gave him hearing, so Jesus takes Peter aside and gives him insight into who Jesus is. And that God's kingdom comes through him. Now, I guess a couple of things to do with this. I got to give the disciples credit. They kept following even when they didn't get it. They kept following even when they didn't get it, but it was Jesus who kept bringing them along, bringing them outside the village, asking the question to them, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And even though it took a journey, Jesus brought them to the place where he could confess, you're the Christ. It's through you that God is putting things right. It's through you that reconciliation takes place. It's through you that God's kingdom, God's peace comes. It's through you. To me, this is incredibly hopeful. And hopeful in this sense. Have you ever wondered if you're ever going to get it? If you're ever going to really get it, that Jesus is the Christ, that it's really through him that God makes us whole, it's really through him that God reconciles us, that it's really through him that we have a new life. Are you ever at that place? Have you been at that place where you just kind of wonder, are you ever really going to get it? This is hopeful. Because Peter gets it. He gets who Jesus is. He's the Christ. Now we're going to see that there's still a lot he doesn't get, but he finally gets that. That Jesus is the Christ. Not just a teacher, not just a miracle worker, but the Christ. Through whom God is bringing God's kingdom, through whom God is putting things right. That God has come in Jesus to do God's will. So don't get discouraged if you haven't gotten it yet. If you haven't gotten it yet, it's okay. Keep following. That's what Peter, James, and John did. They were confused. They didn't have all the answers. They weren't getting it. Jesus is even wondering, are you guys ever going to get it? But they kept following, and Jesus didn't forsake them. And Jesus brought them to the place where they finally saw. brought them to the place where that word that was sown finally started to bear some fruit. You're the Christ. And so don't give up on getting it, because Jesus hasn't given up on you getting it. Because you will get it because of who Jesus is. Just as Jesus healed the deaf, just as Jesus healed the blind, Jesus healed Peter the disciple. To where he saw, to where he got it. So don't give up. Jesus isn't turning away from you. Jesus will bring you to the place where you hear, where you see, where you make the good confession. Jesus is the Christ. Second thing with this. Don't give up on the people that you're ministering to. Don't give up on the people that you're reaching out to. Don't give up on the people that you're praying for. And the reason why you don't give up on them isn't because of who they are. It's because of who Jesus is. And sometimes we can kind of wonder, are they ever going to hear? Are they ever going to see? Are they ever going to make the good confession? And it's so easy to start to give up on people when it seems like it's taken forever. But look here at Peter. Jesus brought him to the place where he makes a good confession. Now, if you're tempted to give up on someone ever getting it today, I just want to encourage you, don't give up. They may be slow, they may not be hearing, they may not be seeing, but keep bringing them to Jesus. And Jesus will keep pulling them aside, and Jesus will keep talking to them, and maybe spitting in their eye, and maybe touching them, and maybe trying to poke holes in their ears. But Jesus will hit him with the question, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And when Jesus asks that question, Jesus works with them, bringing them to the place where they can give the right answer. You're the Christ. It's a journey. But that's the journey Jesus takes us on. In our ability to complete the journey, that's probably not even the right way to say it. Our hope for completing the journey is not based in our ability. Our hope for completing the journey is Jesus. He's the one who pulls aside. He's the one who pokes holes in our ears. He's the one who opens our eyes. He's the one who enables us to make the confession, you are the Christ. And so don't give up on yourself. And don't give up on those who you're reaching out to and praying for because of who Jesus is.